The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
And a very good day to you. This is the Ryan Tuberty Show, but it's Oliver Callan here standing in because, well, himself, he has to be unplugged from time to time, you know, and recharged. But it's Friday, yes, if that means anything to any of you, well and good. And if not, then I'm sorry for everything. So there's no Late Late Show tonight, of course, because of you got your fill on St. Patrick's Day with the Hooli there. And I think they have a film on instead. Do they put on a film when there's no Late Late? Anyway, oh, it's a good night for a takeaway. So we'll have news on that front anon and how you can win a Just Eat voucher. Yummy, yummy. Restaurants and Wheels and so on. But for everything else, in the meantime, the text is 51551 and the email is ryan@rte.punk.ie, which is the Gaelic way of saying dot, I believe. Punk.ie. Anyway, yesterday I started making the first episode of the new Callan's Kick series, which is starting this evening at 6:30 on the radio, on this channel and on podcast. We usually get out a little bit earlier on the podcast as a little reward for those who are subscribed and tuned in to the Callan's Kicks podcast. And but is there anything out there to make fun of at the moment, you're wondering? And yes, yes, there is. So we're going to have, obviously, the Taoiseach talking about his call with the President Joe Biden, which was a very sad day for me, but the Zoom call went well. And I said, please give us the vaccine, sir. And then he said, shiver me shamrocks, me whole. And Leo, of course, will be on as well. We've decided to have Leo presenting his own podcast because it's I'm very zeitgeisty and I want to be like the two Seamuses. Is that what you call those? Oh, the two Johnnies, the Colchies from County Tipper side of Ona. So that's going to be totes amazeballs. So can't wait for that. And who else was thinking about? Yes, Professor Luke O'Neill. He's kind of everywhere, isn't he? So he's done every show. So he might as well appear in Callan's Kicks. And it's kind of the amazing positivity because he kind of starts out low. And then he gets really, everything's going to be fantastic. The vaccines are coming. We're all going to be partying. It's going gangbusters. I'll take all the vaccines. I'll do Sputnik. Give me Sputnik. It's going to be fantastic. And we might have a bit of Home of the Year as well. With Hugh Wallace, oh, Space Light Flu, and Amanda Bone, who is the judge everyone's talking about, because I've got a bone to pick with outdoor wicker furniture. So do tune in for that, please. We will cheer you up, I swear, podcast and on the wireless. So what is happening in the newspapers? Well, what's happening in the newspapers that isn't COVID related and all the terrible stuff? We'll give that a pass this morning because we want to kind of keep everybody light and breezy for the moment because, well, the Oscar nominees, this is something I found interesting. The Irish Examiner tells us the Oscar nominees have been told they will not be allowed to appear virtually. So nominees for this year's Oscars, Zoom is not an option, apparently. So if you're nominated, they expect you to show up. And a letter published by the Academy says, for those of you unable to attend because of scheduling or continued uneasiness about travelling, we want you to know there will not be an option to Zoom in. We are going to great lengths to provide a safe and enjoyable evening for all of you in person, as well as for the millions of film fans around the world. We feel the virtual thing will diminish those efforts. That's, if you got an invite from a friend who said, you know, Zooming in is not an option, you will be here. If you don't like travelling, uneasiness, you know, you'd send them a PFO, wouldn't you, basically? But anyway, it's going to be an issue for Cartoon Saloon because they're nominated down in Kilkenny. But film is an essential travel, isn't it? You're allowed to travel to make film, which is the good thing. But it's a bit mean-spirited because obviously it's from people all over the world, not just in the US where the rules vary from state to state and they're wide open in places like Florida. What else is happening in movie world? Well, HBO, whether you like it or not, is developing three Game of Thrones spin-offs which may cross over with the House of the Dragon, which I'm not terribly familiar with, I have to say. But Game of Thrones, yes, I remember the crushing disappointment that was the last series, so I don't know why they're giving us more. Anyway, there are going to be two new shows entitled Flea Bottom and 10,000 Ships. They don't have writers attached as yet. And The Nine Voyages. And it's all about prequels and bits and spin-offs. And I'm sure there'll be surprise cameos and so on that you're supposed to be very excited about when it happens. I'm just looking here. I don't see many of the older ones appearing back in it. But anyway, if that's your thing and if you can't get your fill of fantasy elsewhere, loads more Game of Thrones forever until the end of time. And though, yes, the film that's on tonight instead of The Late, 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 Late is The Mountain Between Us, starring Idris Elba and Kate Winslet. So that's kind of like a nice sweeping wilderness romantic kind of a thing to keep you occupied of a Friday night. What else is happening? Now, this is very interesting. RTE.ie tells us that Letitia Wright, who was the star of Black Panther, among other things as well, she is going to star alongside The Crown's Josh O'Connor in a new Irish indie film by writer-director Frank Berry. He's an Irish fella. Michael Inside is the indie hit that he had a couple of years ago. And the film is called Provision. And what's it about? Well, it's about basically the direct provision system in Ireland, which is very interesting to have these big names attached to it from Netflix and a Marvel universe and all of that. It's going to tell the story of a young African woman fleeing persecution from criminals in her home country of Nigeria due to drug debts, which her deceased brother left behind. She spends 2 years in the asylum system and staying at various remote, overcrowded centres around the country where she lives under a constant threat of deportation. So the Irish director Frank Berry is going to bring us that. That's going to start filming next month. That's an interesting one because it seems to be the best way to bring attention to these problems, because you had Roddy Doyle's film Rosie, which went out actually on St. Patrick's Day last year. And although we should also point out that the Children's Minister, Roderick O'Gorman, has said that he's going to end direct provision during the lifetime of this government, and which has been criticised, that the system, that is, by just about everybody. So hopefully he's successful in that. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when Hollywood get their hands on that story. Now, on a lighter note, Midsummer Murders is the kind of fun violence, I suppose, for the afternoon, isn't it, where bodies show up. I couldn't believe actually this was still going. It seems to be going forever. I think I was a teenager when this started. But anyway, Holly Willoughby has been offered a guest role in Midsummer Murders. She's delighted, but so long as she says her character gets to die by eating chocolate. So good news there for Holly Willoughby and for Midsummer Murders fans. Now, something completely different. This is a real bugbear of mine, I have to say. Names of new housing developments in the States. There are some really daft names out there. Well, the Irish Independent tells us that Kerry locals have been outraged at a meaningless new housing estate name. The Kerry officials insisted there's huge respect for the Irish language in the kingdom after uproar among locals who complained about a new housing estate. They said it's absolutely meaningless, the term Parkin an Adloss in West Kerry. One translation is green fields or green parks. Not the worst of them, is it? It's not the worst name I don't think we've come across. But they're not happy about it anyway. It's a 20-house Clwyd development at The Grove, just outside Dingle. But Irish speakers pointed out that the name chosen for the estate is meaningless despite the rich history, folklore and geography locally, which could have been used to select a more appropriate title. And I mean, I tend to see estates over the years. They're usually named after something that used to be there, like Sycamore Lane, where everything has been removed and they stick the horrible names. And then there's kind of one kind of noun, trendy names. And when it's an estate, you kind of think, do I put the word estate in there or is it just going to be a nice thing? Honey Park is one that springs to mind. Maybe there's some deep meaning down there in South County Dublin, but surely, with all of the history that we have, sure, John Creedon is literally doing a series around the country at the moment. Is that John Creedon's Atlas of Ireland, where he takes a place name, breaks it down and tells us about usually some of the terrible and horrible and sad things that have happened there, tragic things. But there you go. Now, speaking of happy places, dreaming of a happy place, CNN tells us that although it's been a difficult year, where are the happiest places in the world? Have they changed after the COVID thing? No, because for the fourth year running, Finland has come out on top in the annual list of the happiest countries in the world, followed by Iceland, Denmark, Switzerland and the Netherlands. Second, third, fourth. They're usually the usual suspects. All we care about is where do we go on this? Where do we land on this list? Well, I'm looking here. Ireland is an unlucky 13th on the list after Australia, but ahead of the United States and Canada, which is quite interesting. Now, how do they put this together? There's GDP, life expectancy, generosity of the citizens, which I presume we rank very highly in, social supports, freedoms and corruption. And it launched in 2012, but there's been very few changes. Scandinavians do very well. And New Zealand They were giving out about us quite a lot, actually, in New Zealand, weren't they? Saying we were doing everything wrong. So well for them down in nice New Zealand. But anyway, we're there on that list, even with our leprechaun economics. Now, we were speaking about food, and we're, as I said, the Just Eat thing. I'll be giving the details very shortly, but this is a food promotion that went horribly wrong. Or maybe not horribly, it's just bizarre. In Taiwan, basically a restaurant decided, you know, it'd be a good idea now to shift a bit more sushi. We should do a campaign where we get people to change their name to salmon. And if they can prove it with their driver's license or whatever, then we'll give them a, well, they get an all-you-can-eat sushi meal with five friends. Quite a lot of effort to go to get an all-you-can-eat meal. But anyway, in Taiwan, you can change your name up to three times. And they did. People went out and did. Like over 100 people went out and changed their name to salmon. And they got their free meal. And they had to go to courts and everything. It's just, it's fair. Maybe it's no weirder than changing your last name when you get married. Do you know? We can throw that one out there. 51551 is the text, by the way. I should remind you. Oh, yes, I wanted to say this because there's a lady called Anne who tells me that her husband, Mick Strain, who's listening to this morning from Stillorgan, he has no idea that today is their wedding anniversary and that they are 39 years happily married. But poor Mick is sitting there now with his ear cocked to the wireless, clueless. And so she hopes he's given the shock, not for out of anger, but so she can laugh at him all day long. I believe she also has a card for him. So Mick might have to leg it down to the petrol station to save the day. Although she does say thanks for the gold bracelet that he just bought her, again, unbeknownst to her, apparently, because, well, she used his credit card. And it's a bit like the anniversary, they didn't know. But anyway, happy 1982. Would that be 39? Yeah, happy 1982 wedding anniversary to Anne and Mick down there. So have a lovely time. And you might even be getting a message from a celebrity because the Irish Daily Mirror tells us that this cameo thing, have you heard about this, where big A-list celebrities, people pay them to send a message to their granny or for their weddings or for birthdays and so on. Well, it's now here. And Amanda Brunker apparently has partnered with Cameo. So she's kind of the Irish talent representative on the site and she's recruiting all these people. You've got Samantha Mumba there. The big one on the front page in the picture here in Siobhan O'Connor's exclusive piece is Ronan Keating, who will charge €328 to send a message to you on Cameo. Very specific number. I presume that's a dollars thing. Has it been translated into euro? And Amanda says, Patrick Bergen is the latest Irish A-lister to join Cameo. She says, fans of Sleeping with the Enemy and Robin Hood are loving him. He's a big name in the States. Samantha Mumba, she's joined in along with Jedward, who are having their 15 minutes of fame all over again. They're great in the messages, Amanda says. They sing. And if you like Jedward, they really throw themselves into it completely, giving it socks. So it's kind of, hi, Jan, it's Edward here. It's going to be great. It's a really nice message. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, it's incredible. We're amazing. We're still 21 forever. High five. And you got the lad from Derry Girls, who plays Tommy Tiernan's father, Ian McElhenney, comedian Andrew Maxwell, Jason Byrne, Alan Quinlan, Mrs. Brown's Boys. People are various ones in there as well. Danny O'Carroll is in it. So you can knock yourself out and get messages from the people you love. I don't get to pay it. I get asked to do free ones all the time. Never as me, obviously. They want to have Pascal. Happy wedding anniversary to you. Happy wedding to you. Happy marriage. And here are the financial improvements to your life due to the tax policies at the moment. But we've only a certain amount of money. Yes, 51551. I'm being scolded already over the town land names. Honey Park was the townland name. Then Dunleire Golf Club was built on it. They sold the land. Honey Park Development built on the site. Well, that's a problem in Dublin, that there's kind of English names everywhere. And there's Trafalgar this, Brighton that, all over the place. So maybe I'm still right in some ways. The Kerry estate name literally translates as the Parks the Green. Definitely not great in Irish either, but completely meaningless in Irish. Ah, OK, the gist of the story was kind of missing there. So I can see why there's fury down in Dingle on Dangan. Oh God, we can't get started on that. Was there some furious row over that? Just call it Fungi Memorial County and then everyone will be happy. Estates, how about the American office building name of Plaza, now beloved of property developers, or the now endless segmentation of Dublin into quarters? We do not live in New Orleans, says Sarah, or New Orleans. Yes, the quarters thing really grinds people's gear. The Cleary's Quarter is still a sign in the city centre, and it's kind of, you can't even mention Cleary's given what happened to those unfortunate workers. But anyway, that will go on and on. There should be a convention and rules. But anyway, there's stuff going on. Actually, it's kind of related because in California, apparently, the first 3D printed housing community in the US is being built. What? Yes, developers in Southern California are literally printing out houses using giant 3D printers, which are the size of garages, and they print them out in various sections. Basically, they're prefabs, aren't they? They're like Lego, giant Lego houses, which I'm sure would work very well in a climate like California. So long as there isn't in between the mudslides and the enormous fires. But I'm not sure it would work. And actually something that since I'm driving into Dublin at very weird hours, in the past year, I keep meeting these huge trucks, you know, they take over the whole road and they've got the prefab houses on the back of them. And then I was wondering what that was about. But then I've seen these prefab or modular houses, as sometimes they're called, popping up in the countryside behind rural houses, because it's all to do with affordability of rent and all the adults we have still living at home with their parents. So they're trying to start a family. It's kind of the saddest thing in many ways. I mean, I'm not knocking prefab houses. I'm sure they're fine. But it's just another sad thing. I think there's a, because they're considered mobile, that you can plant them in fields without planning permission. A lot cheaper, obviously. But yeah, it's kind of part of that whole housing thing, which nobody has been able to fix anyway so far. And actually, while we mentioned that subject, it's been barely noticed. But I was looking up yesterday the latest figures for the homeless who are still living in hotels and emergency accommodation in the midst of everything else. And it went up in February, 8,313 people, 966 homeless families living like that during this. So let's not forget them. Now, I want to talk about music, because we're getting to that part of the morning where we have to put our dancing shoes on. And this was very interesting. It's in The Guardian, but it was a headline about why bands are disappearing. Young people are just not excited by them, apparently, says Maroon 5's Adam Levine, because he was kind of made fun of about a week ago or so when he says there aren't any bands anymore. And people go digging for it. And they discovered there's only 9 groups, for example, in the UK top 100 singles that are bands. There's only one band in the top 40. Because a couple of years ago, when I suppose Maroon 5 were really starting at their peak, you had The Killers, you had Arcade Fire, Kings of Leon. The charts, specifically, the kind of pop world was dominated by bands. But now it's more Billie Eilish, Ed Sheeran, Adele, Taylor Swift, all these single acts. And our producer worked very hard this morning and actually trawled through the US Billboard, the Hot 100. And the highest up, because you go at the start, you've got The Weeknd going very high, you've got Drake, you've got all these really amazing, Dua Lipa, of course, we like on this show as well. Taylor Swift there again. You have to go all the way to number 51 in the charts to find a band, Florida Georgia Line. You've got Maroon 5 then at number 54, which is probably why Adam Levine has a bee in his bonnet. Glass Animals, that indie band, at number 57. Well, maybe we're the exception in Ireland because our bands are doing extremely well. I don't know how they chart. We still have the solo artists, don't we, all the way at the top. But we've great bands here like Picture This and Fontaines DC, who were apparently very upset about it. And we've got Pillow Queens, of course, they're making waves as well. True Tides, Two Door Cinema Club, Inhaler, Villagers, Soda Blonde. And actually, while we were on the subject of that, just as I was looking at it, I saw a headline that Years and Years are to become a solo project as well. Ollie Alexander, he, you know him from It's a Sin, which Channel 4 tells us was their most binged new series ever online. Well, Years and Years have become a solo act. It's going to be still called, but just Ollie Alexander. It kind of was mostly him anyway, but there was a three-piece in it, electronica, keyboards and so on. One of the reasons, incidentally, that piece in The Guardian says that bands are not as common anymore is just because some of the record labels think it's easier to deal with one person rather than the whole band that might fall out. And also setting up a band, you have to find 3 or 4 like-minded people, then setting it up, you have to get instruments, you have to find a space in the midst of all of our space crisis or housing crisis to do it in, which is far away from people who aren't going to give out to you. Whereas you just need a laptop, a production software, and off you go as a solo act. Anyway, that's the tragedy of bands. But they're still there. They're going well in this country, but not so much around the place. And the solo acts are going well. We'll listen to the Years and Years. We went while they were still a band. This is a new one from them. It's 51551 is the text number. ryan@rte.ie is the email. It's nearly 25 past 9. Good morning. Baby, it's over me. If You're Over Me, that's Years and Years kicking us off this morning, and it's kicking off on the text because parking on the gloss down in Kerry is motivating people. This text says, it makes no sense syntax-wise or grammar. Gloss is an adjective, so it would be like saying fields of the big. Somebody else says, while gloss and unia mean green in Irish, parking on the gloss means fields of streams because glasha means stream and the genitive plural of streams is na gloss. So there's a bit of grammar for you there. There's nothing wrong with the name except I forgot the fada on the A in Porkina. And historically, geographically, maybe there's no connection with streams, says Ciarán, with a fada, we should say. What else were we talking about? Yes, prefabricated houses not exempt from planning permission, says Shane O'Toole, who's an architect and he would know. So it must be just a cost thing at the moment. And someone's very important to mention, just writing to say how proud we are all are in Killinall this weekend, this week of Rachel Blackmore's brilliant performances in Cheltenham. She's lifted the spirits of everyone in Killinall and throughout Ireland, and this is what we needed in these dismal times, says Josephine. Yes, so we're delighted to mention that. She is very much the hero of the week. And this is also very interesting. The whole name-changing thing, this is about marriage. It's unfathomable. I can't still get over the number of young women who go down this route. I really get annoyed when I'm asked for my married name. What's that? I don't think my husband or anyone would ever be asked such a question. If you keep your name, the one you were born with, when you marry, you're regarded as an oddity. It's also good to have kept your own name when your husband is embarrassing, as you can pretend you're not related, says a married female 46-year-old listener. So thanks for that text on 51551. Now, very important news, because it's Friday. You feel like a takeaway, don't you? Yes, you can taste the curry. You're looking at your local restaurant you haven't been to in yonks, and you want to get something nice into the house. Well, Just Eat. Did somebody say Just Eat? Yes, that one. Ireland's leading food ordering and delivery app is giving you the chance to win a €50 gift card. Simply tap the app and support your local favourite takeaway delivered straight to your door contact-free. So how do you enter and the Ryan Tubridy Show? Well, you can ring 1850 715 900 to take part in our Friday Fun Food Quiz. 1850 915 900. Wash your hands, justeat.ie. We'll be back after the break.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, welcome back. It's Oliver Callan in for Ryan Tubridy for today. And on the subject of bans, the text 51551, bans are not dead. Never mind The Guardian. Our band, Those Nervous Animals, just finished our studio album after 40 years. The new single, Damien, is out today. The Mission Sessions album drops on the 26th of March, says Padraig Meehan. On the subject of names then, we were discussing as well. I'm happily married, says this texter, for 26 years. I didn't change my name. I like the name I was born with. It's my identity. My children have my husband's name. That's okay with me. I do get called by my husband's name all the time, even though I correct the error. It seems some people just can't get their heads around it. It's an outdated tradition, as if the woman once married belonged to the man. Well, that's where it comes from, doesn't it? So I'm still an individual person in my own right and part of a couple. Anyway, I'd say he got enough when he married me, he wasn't getting my name as well. That's a fair point. We're talking about names and the names of places. New development in Wicklow Town went on trend with the Irish name Carrigbeug carved into a big lump of granite. As Carrig is a feminine noun, the adjective following it, as in Beug, should have been a shavu H. I'm not saying that right, am I? If you're going to use the Irish name, at least spell it right. If you get into signage now, we could be here all day because there's all sorts of rows about the way things are spelled. I mean, even in our locality up there, the village of Inishkeen has different variations. Inishkeen is what most people call it outside because the signage all says that. I changed my name when I got married as I wanted to have the same name as my children. Now it's the name I am known by professionally and I'm separated now. It's a horrible bind to be in. Well, never think it's a bind. You can always break free and make those decisions yourself. If you don't want the name, you can cast it off. You can double barrel kids' names as well, can't you? Some double barrels work better than others, don't they? So who knows how to type a fada on their keyboard? It's Alt G or and the letter. This person says they're ranting, which they are. Well, yeah, it's Alt. It's different though on Apple computers and then different things. But and if you hold it down when you're texting, you get the fada there as well, which is an accent in French. And all of that. Are we ready to go to our competition? Will we do an old tune? We do tune? Yeah. Since we're on the subject of bands, we might as well play an Irish band. Here's Soda Blonde. That's the gorgeous sound of Soda Blonde, a grand Irish band, Love Me World, which needs a comma, doesn't it? There's a grammatical thing there, Love Me World, as in Love Me World, could mean something else in a different accent. And actually on the band's Tom Gallagher, who's only 14 and he's texted in from Naas. He says, "Me, my brother and my friend are in a small band and we are the only people. I know who like bands. Is that I know people who like bands like Queen or the Foo Fighters. It's kind of annoying," says Tom Gallagher. So yeah, bands are a thing and you keep at it, Tom. And you tell us the name of the band actually would have been a good thing. We give you a right shout out. But maybe Tom Gallagher, the reason you put it in is because you're planning a solo career. At 14, we have it all figured out. Only messing. Now, we live in a row of houses in County Kerry called Uron an Tirin. There's a fada over the last I. Okay, so it's on Tirin, it would be. And no one knows what it means. It's a making up name by builders, we think. This is a very important text because it says, why does every town and village in Ireland have to have a manor housing estate? That is true. There's a manor, something or other everywhere else. Well, haven't we enough indigenous sounding names? Shake off the colonial times. It's not even the colonial thing. It's just lazy naming. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a name where people go, what does that mean? And why is it that thing is called something? I remember actually John Creedon telling me one time there was a load of houses built in a place. And he said that they had just translated the townland. They would have figured out that it was basically called Floody MacFloodface. And of course, what happened was the houses were flooded soon afterwards. So there's knowledge in those names. Now that's it. We'll email our Just Eat winners their winning vouchers. Callum's Kicks is at 6:30 and on podcast this morning. Claire Byrne is next. We'll chat to you again on Monday.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.